Welcome. The anointing here is so wonderfully, wonderfully strong. I believe it's saturating through the entire internet that's watching us right now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So if you look on your outline, see this is part four of Overcoming Fear, although it's the fifth night because one of them was so intensive it took two nights. So we're going to wrap everything up today, bring it all into perspective. You know, and there's a lot of fears in the world. You hear about all the phobias, you know, and of course, claustrophobia is the fear of closed spaces, right? And a foodaholic that has claustrophobia is afraid he's going to get to McDonald's that's going to be closed. You know what teenagers are afraid of? No battery power on their cell phones. All right, so let's do a little review. See on the overview, the devil is not a creator. He's a copycat, a deceiver, trying to get us to obey him through fear because we focus on ourselves. Revelation 12:9, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth, his angels were cast out with him. Now, realize how cunning the enemy is. He convinced one-third of the angels who were in the throne room with God to leave there and come down to earth. He's excellent at what he does. Do not underestimate him. We are better than him. We beat him with Jesus Christ, but do not underestimate him. Too many Christians out there are complacent, and they're underestimating their enemy. Okay? Fear is Satan telling you to stop doing something God wants you to do. Everybody here, listen to me now, God has something for you to do. And for most of us, fear is the biggest challenge. And that's the enemy, because if God's telling you to do it, it'll be victorious. Fair enough? Okay. God wants to obey us to obey him through faith because we love him. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. I like the thought of the Lord manifesting himself to me. That just encourages me a lot. Okay? So, thoughts of fear. Mental focus on failure or problems, doubt, unbelief, and uncertainty. Inferior or feelings of failure, confusion, panic, nervousness, dislike, or persons, places, food. Other related words of thoughts of fear, anxiety, worry, strain, stress, tension, alarm, anguish, cold feet, desperation, discomfort, dismay, distraction, distress, disturbance, dread. You know, the first battleships were called dreadnoughts because they weren't afraid of anything. Edginess, foreboding, franticness, hand-wringing, jitters, jumpiness, misgiving, panic, suspense, torment, upset, and vexation. That's by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So the devil has a lot of different ways to say fear, but still means the same thing. Okay? Fear is a learned trait. Children aren't afraid. People are taught to be afraid. You ever see a child, they'll climb any lengths, any heights, do anything they want to do. They're not afraid. So the parent says, stop doing that, you might get hurt, which parts things in there. But fear is a learned trait. Now, I'm not saying don't have respect for challenges, but we cannot have fear in us. Amen? Okay. Some of the acronyms for fear, false evidence appearing real. It's because Satan is a liar. He puts out false evidence to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. I like the one, face everything and rise with the Word of God. And then fear, focus. Equip yourself for battle, act for God is with you, and remember, perfect love cast out all fear. Amen? Amen. Okay. Faith is believing that God will do what he promised. Fear is believing the devil will do what he threatened. Okay? Which side of your coin do you want to be on? Generally, fear causes us to lose our joy, peace, and patience. Specifically, fear can be identified through our thoughts, words, and actions. We'll talk a lot about that later on. Fear comes from separation from God and leads to fear of physical death. Jesus redeemed us from bondage of fear by abolishing death. We cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot look at both sides of the coin at once. We must choose blessing or cursing. We must choose faith or fear. It is our choice. We have to choose. God will never go against your free will. You have the right to choose whatever you want. Choose wisely. How faith works. Faith renews, changes our mind. We hear and mentally agree. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It starts by renewing our mind. Satan talks to us in our mind. He tries to confuse us. He puts out confusion. He puts out challenges in our mind. We must renew our mind to the Word of God. We must renew our mind to what God wants us to think. We must think as God wants us to think. That stops Satan in his tracks. Okay? Faith is deposited in our hearts when we act on that mental assent. James 1:21-26. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word. Now, I'm going to stress that again, doers of the word. Complacency is not an option. We must do the word. We must work the word. We must do it. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks perfectly into the law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Okay? There are too many people with one foot in the world and one foot in church. Do not deceive yourself because somebody comes to church once in a while. They're okay. They're not. Okay? If there's one thing I want people to be feared of, be afraid of being lukewarm. Because my Bible says that Jesus, God will vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth. So we must be on fire for God. Okay? Great. See, faith impacts our souls as we speak, which is embedded in our hearts. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2. D, as we speak of faith, we call things that are not as though they be. Romans 4:17. It's talking about Abraham. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations. Before him he believed, even God who quickened the dead, called those things as not as though they were. Now, let's pause here for a second. What do you need being called into being? This is a personal question. You need something called into being. Okay? What is your biggest challenge? Is fear keeping you from calling it? Overcome? Most people are stopped by fear of not doing what they need to do for some reason. Okay. I've ministered to people that are so used to their challenges, they don't think to tell us about them so we can pray over them. They're just comfortable. They've known about them for decades. And we go, what are your challenges and issues? And they won't tell us about X. They're just so used to it. Maybe it's a limp. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's financial challenges. They don't think to tell us that's what they need victory over. Okay? What is your challenges? List them out. Figure out how to call them as they were. Amen? Okay, how fear works. Since fear is faith in the devil, the process of fear works the same as faith. Okay? B. Fear is faith in the destroyer, devil, who had the power of death. Hebrews 2:14. In his message, the children have partaken of the flesh and blood. He himself likewise shared in the same. And through death, he, Jesus, might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil no longer has the power of death. Jesus took it away from him. Okay? See, as we keep speaking the words of fear, that which fear comes into being. Job 3:25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Now, I worked with a very nice lady many years ago. She was a widow at 23. Mm-hmm. And I got talking to her, how did this happen? She goes, well, my husband always said he would die at 21. He spoke that time and time again. 10 days before his 22nd birthday, he had a car accident and was killed. Mm-hmm. Now the flip side, I'm talking about my father again. As long as I've known my father, he's been telling me he's going to live to be 100. He's 98 3/4 today. April 1, he turns 99. His words are keeping him going. Even when doctors said it wasn't going to work, he's proven them wrong every time. By the way, he does do ABC prayers daily. He does his affirmations, he gets out his book, and he never misses one. The things we teach here work. My father is not around us. He doesn't have internet, he can't hear us. We send him an occasional message or something, but he's not very good with the DVDs and things like that. But when we go back and teach him something, he learns it and he uses it. Okay? Great. D. Our words are creative, and so we can frame our world with faith or fear. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. Now, God is telling you what to do here, that both you and your descendants may live. Now, let's think about this for a second. This is the last part of section B, where it's letter D. How powerful are words? Now, as most of you know, I come from Abraham Lincoln's hometown. And I can arguably state that the Gettysburg Address is the most famous speech ever written. 2 minutes. This speech is 2 minutes long. And it spoke more into the people to motivate them and keep them going to heal their wounds. Now, he didn't have TV to distract him. And back then, people thought about their words a lot. Now, if you look back at our founding fathers, their words formed this nation. Benjamin Franklin, don't tread on me. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. They knew the words. They knew the power of their words. Read the Declaration of Independence sometime. There's a movie and the guy starts reading and says, you know, people don't talk like this anymore. They're right. Every word is thought about how to exactly put in there to place. We need to be that concerned about our words. We're too flippant in this society today. We're marred by television and communications and things like that and social media where things get twisted around and messed up. Make your words exact. It is so important to you. In World War II, it was Winston Churchill's words that kept the United Kingdom going through their darkest hour. And by the way, for the record, the only person Hitler feared was Winston Churchill because he knew he was the one person who could motivate the British. And he did. Martin Luther King changed this country without firing a shot by the power of his words. He was an excellent speaker. He knew how to put his message out in such a way that he changed hearts and minds of people. God is no respecter of persons. Therefore, your words are as powerful as those people we just talked about today, especially over your own life. Okay? All right, section C, the way of life. Now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Hope is the blueprint for faith, because any promise of God could create hope in you. Then we exercise our faith to manifest the promise for which we are hoping. Hope is the blueprint plan, and faith creates the building. Okay. That's section C1. Okay. Okay. C2. God's desires, we have faith in Him and His Word, so that the living hope of the gospel will guide us into receiving His love, in loving Him, and in choosing to live a life of love. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay. 3. The devil's desire is that we have fear. If he can have fear, he can cause us to doubt. The devil wants us to have faith in his words. Now, we've talked to people and told them to do things, and the devil will come and say, that won't work. Why not? So-and-so said so. Try it. Find out for yourself. So that our doubt in God's word will guide us into sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Luke 8:50, when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. C4. We do not have received the spirit of bondage again, keyword there being again, to fear. We receive the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. That's Romans 8:15. Number 5, by abolishing death, God has delivered us through fear of death, where all our lifetime subject to bondage of fear. 2 Timothy 1:10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them who fear death, where all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now we're going to come back to that a little later on. 6, Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, Satan. We shall not all die, we all shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Okay, that was a review of the first four sections. Now we're going to section D, the blueprint of fear. Okay. When the word is sown, unbelief blocks mental assent and hardens our heart. If the sown word reaches our heart, Satan comes immediately to steal it. Now, that goes back to Romans 12:2 about the renewed mind. We have to renew our mind. If our mind doesn't believe it, our heart won't have the faith for it. We have to do enough to make our mind believe it. The reason we teach affirmations here is because that retrains the mind. The more you speak an affirmation out, the more you hear it. The more you hear it, the more it gets embedded into you. So when somebody says, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and they do it time and time again, they start to believe that their faith starts to grow. The fear of whatever challenge they have dissipates. Okay? Hebrews 3:15. Well, I said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. We cannot allow our hearts to be hardened to the word of God. The enemy is trying to do that. We hear the word tolerance. Now, I love people of all kinds. I don't care what their sin is, I love the person, but I cannot... How do I say this word? I cannot respect... They're sinning. Okay? I can lead them in prayers. I can pray for them. I can forgive them. I can do that. But I cannot condone their sin. Doesn't mean I don't care for the person, but I cannot tolerate the sin. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to convince us it's okay. It's their lifestyle. Yes, they have their own free will. And they will suffer the consequences of it. And I don't come against the person, whatever sin it is. We're all sinners. Okay. Mark 4:15. And these ones by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word away that was sown in it. Now, Pastor Karen and I were ministering to a married couple one time. There were tremendous challenges. And for about 4 months, we worked with them and worked with them, worked with them. We got them doing affirmations over their marriage. We did all the things we knew to do. And they came in and sat down to us and said, you know, everything you've taught us has been the most wonderful, fantastic things we've ever heard. Our marriage is doing stupendously. However, we went to a Christian psychologist. And his psychologist told us that we didn't have to do all those affirmations. And since we pay him $100 an hour, we're going to take his advice. I says, no problem, I'll charge you $200 an hour. You're telling me this is working, but because you're paying somebody, you're going to take their advice. Why would you even go to him? If this were, why would you even go to him in the first place? But Satan came and stole that word from them. Mm. They have tremendous challenges after that. Wow. We were also ministering to a young lady that was diagnosed with brain cancer. The tumors were so big, they gave her 2 weeks to live. We did the same thing with her. We got her on a program, doing affirmations, praying with her. She even came over and spent days with Pastor Karen, so Pastor could just minister her directly. And what the doctor said couldn't be done, actually the tumors went down by 50%. Wow. Then a pastor told her that what we were doing wasn't necessary anymore. And Satan used this pastor to steal the word. Nothing we could do could convince her that even though we've had great success, she wanted to do it the easy way. Too many people want the easy way. She's in heaven today. Because Satan stole the word. Do not let Satan steal whatever word you're given in Jesus' name. Okay? Number two, once God reaches our heart, Satan's tool for taking out of our hearts is doubt, which is why anything that's not of faith is sin. Romans 14:3. Now, as many of you know, I'm a big Muhammad Ali fan. His biggest weapon was not his hands, it was his mouth. Joe Frazier is going to go down. He'll go down in the 7th round, you know. And he would put this out there, and put this out there. People would hear him speak over them all the time. He put doubt in every boxer before they even stepped in the ring. They were beaten before they got in the ring. Okay. When I used to play football, I was much smaller. Though you don't know, I was a small kid growing up. My first start was 5'4" and 135 pounds. I was lined up against this really big guy one time, and he hit me with everything he had. And it hurt. I got up and says, that the best you got? This is going to be easy. I put doubt into him. You know, the rest of the game, I won that battle. I put doubt into him. And so that's what Satan's trying to do to you guys. Don't let Satan do that to you. Okay? Now, we all know the story of David and Goliath. David walks out there. My God, and I will defeat this uncircumcised Philistine. David's trash-talking Goliath. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. I don't think Goliath had ever anybody go up to him and challenge him like that. I think the first thing David did was he put fear in Goliath. Goliath says, what is this person coming at me? I don't think he'd ever run into that. I think he was so surprised that anybody, let alone some little kid, could come out there and challenge him, that he got a little bit scared. This is my theory. I can't prove it. It's not written in the Bible, but it makes sense to me. I think they put fear in him, and then when he threw that stone and hit him, by the way, you've all got the tools you need to right now to do something. David used the tool he was trained with to defeat Goliath. Now, he had to learn later on how to run men, how to fight armies and things like that. But for the where you're at today, the battle you're facing right now, you already have the tools you need. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Number three. There are these three: fear, doubt, and death. The worst of these is death. Hebrews 2:15. Those who were held in slavery all their lives by their fear of death. Fear starts with the fear of death. Okay? The main fear most people face is the fear of death. Everything else kind of parlays off of that. Okay? We're not going to be afraid of death because we're going to live until reign until Jesus returns. Is that correct?
Amen.
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 Okay.
Doubt leads the way. Now, doubt comes from not knowing the truth. Now, you have to learn the truth. 5 years ago, I wouldn't touch a computer. I knew nothing about them, was challenged by them. Today I run three of them at the same time. I had to learn what to do. Now I'll tell a story here. I have a wonderful sister that I love. We've always loved each other. We had a lot of fun growing up together. We always played games and teased each other constantly. Okay? Now back in our day, the bad guys were bad, the good guys were good, the good guys always won, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're watching the werewolf show. Now it's not like today where the werewolves were the heroes, this werewolf was a bad guy, okay? And at the right point in the middle of the show, my sister goes, bah! And I jumped up. Yeah, we laughed about that. Now, for any of you who knew the cold weather in the 60s, they used to sell something called rabbit fur-lined gloves. I'm not one to be outdone. So that day I went and found my rabbit fur-lined gloves, and I turned them inside out. You know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I slept in my sister's room, and I grabbed her ankle. Of course, she'd just seen the werewolf movie, and had this hairy thing grab her ankle. She jumped so high, she would have won Olympic gold medal. Okay. Now, the point of the story is, she didn't know what was going on, right? If I turned the light on, she'd see me there with those gloves on my hand, she wouldn't have been afraid at all. Here's my point. Learn what's going on so you're not afraid. Whatever the devil comes at you with, you know how to handle it. If you go through the ABC schools, you will not have every challenge that comes on you. Okay? If you take a martial arts class, they teach you how to attack, how to handle every possible situation that you can come into. So you're ready for it. Do your work and get ready for it. Complacency is not an answer. Okay? Doubt is the blueprint for fear because doubting the promise of God opens the door for the alternatives to the promise. Now, Israelites, they're out of Egypt. They get to the promised land. And what happens? They stop believing in their God. They believed in the evil report. Satan came and stole the word from them. And what did they do? All but two died out in the wilderness. Okay? Satan put doubt in them. Okay? All right. See, doubt also leads through the way of lust, desirable alternatives which will produce fear of judgment, such as getting high on marijuana, cocaine, to forget temporary challenges. When I was in the 8th grade, one of my friends got on drugs. I watched it tear him up terribly. It has always bothered me when I see what drugs can do. And I see how Satan uses that to control and manipulate people because that's what he wants. 1 John 3:24, our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. God can help us out of any challenges. I don't care what it was. The good news for my friend was he did eventually give his life to the Lord, and today he is clean and living a very productive life. Amen? Five, doubt is the beginning of separation of the word, of God's word, and therefore from God. Separation from God is spiritual death, which leads to physical death. Genesis 2:17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat it, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't physically die immediately, but at that point, the process started. Okay? Section 6, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Satan will challenge every single one of us. He knows where our weaknesses are. He knows our secret desires, and he will use them against us. Okay. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished brings forth death. James 1, 14 and 15. For each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and to sin when it's full grown brings forth death. Now, the best example of this is the prodigal son. He wanted to take his money and go out and party and live the high life. He was enticed by the world and all the things the world had to offer. Okay. But you got to give him credit for one thing. He had to overcome the fear of rejection and go back to his father. Even he could just work as a hand for his father. And in doing so, he got blessed back into the family. But Satan will tempt all of us continuously. And the higher we go up, the bigger the challenges are we're going to face. So what do? We fight fear with fear. Repeat a little bit of last time. I'm going to expand upon a little bit. F, focus. Satan tries to get people distracted, fighting too many battles at one time. Pick one target. Stay away from distractions. Pick which one you want to go with first. Go after it. Get a victory there. Pick the second one. Get a victory there. You know, MacArthur was very good at that. He picked one target at a time. Take it. Go on to the next one. I'm glad that my dad was under MacArthur's command, because MacArthur lost fewer men in percentages than anybody else anywhere in the war. He wanted to see how he could do it the best possible way, but he focused on what he needed to do. Okay. Equip yourself. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Now, the football playoffs are on. There are teams out there that are working and preparing and properly doing things right. Those who do it the best are going to win. Those who don't are not going to win. You watch a boxing match, the fighters won in the training rooms beforehand, not the day of the fight. They prepare. We are headed into a terrible time. We are headed into horrible, horrible times that make the Great Depression and World War II look like kindergarten. We must prepare. We must get to know our word. We must get to know our weapons. We must learn how to use our sword of our spirit, the Word of God, to fight off all the challenges that are to come upon us. And those who are trained the most will win. There's an old saying, those who sweat the most in practice win the battles. So I'm going to encourage you, go back through your schools. Now we're starting healing school here. Is this Sunday? Mm-hmm. This Sunday we're starting healing school. It's a regular thing. If you can't come here, you can live stream it. But the teachings are excellent. Okay? Now another thing is, get away from negative people. There are people out there that will tell you, that won't work. Why are you doing all that? The reason they do that is because they're lazy and they don't want to do it. If they see you doing it, they're going to feel bad that they're not doing what they need to do, because they know in their heart they need to do it. Think about this. We just talked about the Israelites in the Promised Land. Who went in? Joshua and Caleb, right? Why? Because Lord got them away from all the negative people. Not one of the negative people went in the Promised Land. Not one doubter went with them. So when they went in there, they went with the younger generation that did not have any reason to doubt them. Get away from negative people. Just walk away. There are people in my office that are very wonderful people, but very negative. I don't even engage them anymore. I just ignore them. It's not worth the discussion point. Okay, just get away from them. Why am I going to go into a trap that Satan's setting up for me? Okay. Act. A for act. Inaction brings doubt and fear. Action brings confidence and courage. Okay? God is with you. David acted against Goliath. Israelites didn't act to take their promised land. We must act. We must do something. And maybe that's something just to pray. I don't know. God will tell you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues more. If you're not praying in tongues, come and see us later. I'll get you that way. You can pray in tongues. When I don't know what to do, I just stop and pray in tongues. It's amazing how the answers come to me. Do you have an answer? Okay. R. Remember, God is with you. Who can be against you? Romans 8:31. And as God prepared David to defeat Goliath, he's preparing you to defeat your enemy, whatever that may be. You do the possible, God will do the impossible. So, in conclusion, learn your word. Learn to recognize what attacks are coming from the enemy. Use the word to stop them. And it says in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay. I'm going to close with a story about Lester Sumrall, one of the greatest men of the gospel. One night he's asleep, and his bed is shaking, and he's pushed all the way across the room. He goes, what is going on? He looks up, and he sees Satan right there. He says, oh, it's you. Put my bed back where it belongs and get out of here. I expect every one of us to have that much faith and confidence in the Word of God that when whatever demon comes and attacks you, you will say, get out of my life. I expect you to be so strong and so powerful in the Word of God that when you get up in the morning, the devil says, oh no, they're up. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. As we close this chapter on fear, we ask that you impart boldness and courage into every person hearing this or will ever hear this in the future. And that they will take your word, Lord, and use that word as the weapon it is to defeat the enemy in every area of their life that is challenged. In Jesus' name, amen.